website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Trusted voices with solid teaching and talk. This is The Truth, 91.7 FM.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We're always delighted to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here on Let's Face the Issues each and every day. We're going to be dealing with a very, very important, grave, serious issue today. We're talking about Marxist mobs storming churches in Minnesota, St. Paul, Minnesota, just this past Sunday, during a worship service in the city's church. It's called City's Church. It's a Southern Baptist church, St. Paul, Minnesota. A group of thugs, a group of anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-church, anti-civilization thugs stormed into the church, disrupted the worship services with their presence and demeanor, a threatening presence, a threatening demeanor, interrupting, and then tried to interview the pastor. And as Don Lemon, the failed, fallen, sodomite CNN, former CNN anchor, got in the face of the pastor, and then as he got closer in the face of the pastor, he said, "Don't push me." The pastor wasn't pushing. It was Don Lemon that was pushing in his face. But there's a whole lot more that we need to talk about. We're going to talk about what happened. We're going to talk about what a church should do, can do, and shouldn't do. We're going to talk about what the federal standards and the federal law says, what the state of Minnesota law says, what the state of Florida law says in relationship to the intrusion and intimidation and threatening of a worship service. Now listen, there are a lot of folks that think that somehow, somewhere, church is open territory. It's public property. A church is private property. It's open for worship, but it's not open for someone to come in, threaten and intimidate the worshipers and the pastor and the church's religious liberties and the freedom of worship. That's where we're going today. So that telephone number, after a brief monologue, we're going to introduce our very special guest today, and then we'll open our telephone lines and invite you to call in, join in the dialogue and discussion. I believe it's worth listening to, it's worth hearing, and I believe that everyone that's listening, pick up your telephone, text everybody on your phone, tell them to tune in and join in the dialogue and discussion. It is imperative that we understand what's happening and how we should respond as Christians, as a church, as pastors. What are our responsibilities? What's our liabilities? What should we do in protecting the flock of the local New Testament church? Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It's the truth book. John 8:31-32, as the Lord Jesus is speaking to his disciples, he says, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the word of God. "Thy word is truth." Psalms 117:2 says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." So may I say, ladies and gentlemen, although there's a mindset today that we can bifurcate truth, dissect truth in some fashion, and it's still truth. A half truth is a whole lie. It was the secularist of yesteryear, George Orwell, that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And therefore, ladies and gentlemen, let me say to you in advance, there are a lot of people today that might disagree with what I have to say. And they might challenge it because they're disagreeing with truth. But I want you to understand, in my most humble opinion, as Christians, as pastors, as churches, we need to recognize the day in which we're living and the opportunities that's very rapidly fleeting away, lest we speak up, stand up, and be heard as a local New Testament church and as Christians. We're not second-class citizens in America. We're not to take the back seat in the train, if you please, in America. It is the responsibility of Christians to recognize our God-given responsibilities and recognize our freedom that we have today. Ladies and gentlemen, it was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that said, the decline of America is linked to the death of truth. And this, in part, is what he said. Truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity in our nation. Ladies and gentlemen, I go to the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus for his statement. He says, and I quote, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. So I challenge you each and every day on this broadcast that we seek the truth. We won't find it on the Communist Network News. In fact, this subject that we're talking about today, CNN, I don't believe has covered a minute of it. I may be wrong. I don't watch it all the time. I like to scroll the dial and see which station is going to tell the biggest lie or avoid the major truths that we should understand in society today. But I don't believe they've covered it. But other networks have. And it is the truth that we need to be seeking. And major, may I say, go back again. Jesus says, I am truth. So if we stay in the Word, knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, we have available to us the truth. From Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22:21, it is the truth book. God reveals to us past, present, and future what He's doing, what He has done, and what He shall do. So, ladies and gentlemen, may I challenge you today to stick to the truth book and see what God's Word tells us and stick to what God's Word says and not what some half-truth or bifurcation of truth may tell us in the news media today. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The Tools for Time staff can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how'd I find that? On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of the flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing what I call a new level of demonic activity in America today. Would you have ever believed that the Marxist, Socialist, Communist, Democratic Party and their anarchist thugs would be brazen enough to enter into a church during a worship service, harassing the congregants, intimidating them, threatening Christians in the church as they're worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, we have all just witnessed this, City's Church in state of Minnesota. And I don't know, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about the law for the state of Minnesota. We'll talk about the law as stands in the state of Florida and the federal law in relationship to intruding and intimidating, threatening a church during worship services as to what the law calls for. We're going to deal with that in the broadcast today. But I'm looking at a headline, ICE protesters disrupt Minnesota worship service. And ICE protests disrupted the morning worship services at City's Church Sunday morning, January the 18th. Former CNN Don Lemon live-streamed a portion of the event from inside the church building on YouTube. Protesters could be heard chanting, "Hands up, don't shoot, ice out," throughout the video. According to Lemon, the protesters interrupted the opening prayer of the church worship services. The protesters were, if you please, looking at this article, the protesters were allegedly one of the church's pastors was a member of Immigration and Customs Enforcement Services within the Department of Homeland Security, according to Don Lemon on his video. After a violent week in the Twin Cities, the Associated Press reported Sunday that the Pentagon announced it was putting 1,500 soldiers on standby to potentially report to Minneapolis to support the ongoing ICE operation in the city. And it goes on to talk about past, present, and future, what was taking place in the state of Minnesota. But in a statement released Sunday, Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission Chief of Staff said this: the sanctity of church services should be inviolable. In America, the state has the responsibility not just to let people gather to worship, but to protect people who are peacefully assembling to exercise their constitutional liberties and the right to worship. Calling the disruption gross violation of the First Amendment, the ERLC chief is asking Governor Tim Walz, Attorney General Keith Ellison, to denounce the protest that interrupted services today and to commit to the protecting of the rights of this church and all churches throughout all of Minnesota to assemble free of any threat. In fact, the one of the professors at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary said, "It's utterly despicable. There's no constitutional right to protect to protest a private religious assembly," end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, I could go on and on with the articles. I've got a whole fistful of the articles telling us what took place, but perhaps you've already heard what has happened. But may I say to you, Keith Ellison, the liberal bought and paid for position as the Attorney General for the state of Minnesota, in my most humble opinion, doesn't intend to lift a finger to prosecute anybody, Don Lemon or anybody else, that intruded in the worship services. I'm concerned about where it is and what is taking place. I'm concerned to the point that I'm very, very anxious today for you to understand the grave intent and the pretense of where it's going if this is not stopped. If this is not stopped, if it is not ceased immediately, we will find this with copycatters, if you please, if that's a term, across America trying to intimidate and threaten. As one writer said, this is the results of anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-church, anti-Christian, anti-American response that we see with Don Lemon leading it out. And Don Lemon is now claiming, "I was there as a media person. I was there just to report. I didn't do it." But I've got documents, ladies and gentlemen, that shows he knew in advance. He knew what they were doing, where they were going, and what they intended to do. And he wasn't one that was just tagging along. He's one of the leaders that was helping to carry it out. And we need to understand what it means. And here's the bottom line. What does this redound to for the local New Testament church? What does it redound to? Where do we stand as Christians, conservatives, pastors, and churches? Where do we stand today? Are we in danger? Yes. Should we do something about it? Yes. Should we stand up and speak up? Yes. Should we be ready to face off an enemy with other protocols that needs to be set in place for our churches? Yes. And we're going to talk about those things today. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to have with us Congressman Mike Hill. Congressman Hill is the former District 1 representative for the Florida House in the state of Florida. I'm thankful that he's taken time out of a busy schedule to join us today for us to talk about this issue. Congressman Hill, thank you so much for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. Let's talk about this event. And let us listen to your opinions and thoughts as to what happened, why it happened, and what we need to do. Thank you so much, Congressman, for joining us.
Dr. Youngblood, thank you for having me and allowing me to speak with you about this very important issue. I think we need to back up just a little bit and recognize that those on the left, Democrats, will use violence to try and make a point or to get their way. There's a history, a documented history, of Democrats using violence to get their way. All the way back to at the end of the Civil War, the forming of the KKK, which was the terrorist arm of the Democrat Party. Just like now, we have Antifa and Black Lives Matter being the terrorist arm of the Democrat Party. So it almost begs the question, why are all Democrats so violent? And you have to turn that around. I think people who are violent will then gravitate to the Democrat Party because they will be accepted there. Mm-hmm. What we saw on Sunday was a playing out of their violent tendency, their violent nature, as we see them on the streets now. They're not protesting ICE being there removing illegal aliens, criminal illegal aliens. What they are protesting is the United States of America.
That's it.
Our Constitution,
yes.
What we stand for, what our foundation is. That is what they are protesting. And there's a long history of that in the United States. And the communists have been trying to do it along with the Democrats for quite some time. And when we saw that travesty where they would dare enter into the house of God with their screaming and yelling and with their violence, goes beyond the pale. I know, Dr. Youngblood, you also pastor a church, and I try to think what the response would have been if that had been your church they had stormed into, or even my church. Mm-hmm. My church, they would have had a very rude awakening. Mm-hmm. I think they intentionally targeted a church where they knew that the congregation was relatively small. If you looked at the congregation, there were a lot of women and children who were there. There didn't seem to be, just from the short little clips I saw, a lot of men, military-age men who were there. Otherwise, they wouldn't have done it. Like the cowards they are, they picked an easy target. And they use as their presumption was that the pastor is supposedly one of the ICE agents. They knew what they were doing. This was well planned. Don Lemon knew what they were doing. As you said, it's documented. It was well planned. And we need to have, if not only the state of Minnesota to step up and prosecute this, at the federal level, we need to prosecute this to the fullest extent of the law.
Absolutely. And Congressman Hill, let me just read. I'm looking at an article that says, update. President Donald J. Trump investigating after far-left anti-ICE mob storms St. Paul at St. Paul, Minnesota. Church shuts down Sunday services. Breaking update. U.S. Department of Justice has opened a civil rights investigation into the disruption of the church services, citing potential violations of Federal Freedom Access Clinic entrance. That's the FACE Act. The FACE Act makes it a federal crime to use force, threats, obstruction to interfere with individuals exercising their right to religious worship, including entering and participating in services at houses of worship. This incident occurred at City Church, etc., 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 and it talks about that. But one of the things that I find fascinating and sad, and some Christians may not know this, but Don Lemon, in the face of the pastor, where he was transferring that by way of YouTube so that the world could see his dastardly act and his deeds, he reminded the pastor, you know, we have freedom of speech, so we can do what we're doing. I want our listeners to understand freedom of speech and freedom of religion that we have as Christians, and freedom of speech for all citizens, does not include entering into a house of worship. It does not include going onto the property. In fact, I've said for less than 100 years now, you have the right to demonstrate, you have the right to peacefully organize, but stay on the sidewalk. Most Christians, most churches, some pastors may not even know it is illegal to set foot on the church property. It's not public property. It's private property. You can't set foot on the property to violate the standards and much less violate the federal law, the state laws that gives the freedom of worship without intimidation, without intrusion, and without coming in to and breaking up a worship service. I listened to one commentator that said, you know, if they were going to do this, they should have stayed outside and wait till after church was over and demonstrate. No, you can't. You can stay on the sidewalk. You can't set foot on the property, according to the Minnesota law, according to the federal law, according to the law in the state of Florida. I don't know about the others. I've not researched those. But so, Congressman, what do you say in relationship? Let's just do a little fast forward because we'll get to this in a moment. How should a church respond? How should they have responded? I've got some ideas that I want to talk about. I want to pick your brain first.
Well, I can tell you how I would have responded, Dr. Youngblood. First of all, I would have made sure that my family was safe, my wife, my children, and my grandchildren. And then I would have forcibly removed them from the premises.
Amen.
They would not have been able to stay there. And I'm sure in my church and in your church, there are several other men who would have done the same. You would not have entered into that church and then stayed there chanting your nonsense. Now, we know, Dr. Youngblood, that this is a Democrat attack on Christianity that has been going on for some time and has been accelerating in frequency and in violence since President Trump took office. It started under Obama, and then it grew when President Trump was in office the first time, accelerated greatly under Biden and the whole COVID deal. You might recall they closed churches, mm-hmm. but allowed liquor stores and strip clubs to remain open. Unbelievable. There was even a pastor in Florida, Dr. Rodney Howard Brown, down in Tampa, who was arrested because he continued to leave his church open. So this is something that Democrats have been doing for quite some time, and we as Christians must stand up, not allow this to continue, because if we do, they will simply continue, and the situations will get worse and worse until eventually, hopefully not, but eventually it could turn into bloodshed.
Absolutely. That's the thing that is so frightening to me and concerning to me and causes me to be anxious. If it is not stopped now, where will it go? Where will it end? Congressman Hill, hold your thought for a moment. I believe we have Marshall on the line. Marshall, go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Well, I have a number of them. I'll have to keep this very short. I don't think any of us understand the nature of what's going on, with all due respect to everyone online today. We're in a critical situation, and I would like to take Congressman Hall back to 1976. Congressman Hill, were you a Dooley in 1976?
Yes, I was, at the Air Force Academy.
You're sitting on your bed in your squadron room. Upperclassman me walks in, says, "On your feet, Dooley." And you stand up, and I say, "You've got 30 seconds, 30 seconds, or you won't like the consequences. If you can't recite the code of the American fighting man, ready, go." Could you have done that?
Oh, yes, I would have.
"I am an American fighting man," et cetera, et cetera. I know that you knew that. Did you also, in your academics at the Air Force Academy, and I know you did because I have a cousin who taught there, did you also not understand why Great Britain lost the American colonies, why the Soviet Union was unable to defeat Afghanistan, and why America got bogged down in Vietnam? It was failure to understand the nature of the war. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Okay, absolutely. So here's my point, what I'd love to hear you comment on. We do not understand right now that we are at war. The war began recently. I would say November the 18th, but that's another story. We are at war, and it's a two-pronged attack. One, it is a secular war that is actually being perpetrated right now in the same manner that all previous wars this nation has been involved in is prosecuted. It's just being done in a way we don't realize, which is what Richard Nixon talked about in 1980 in his book, The Real War. It's here. We're fighting a war. But there's also the overriding spiritual war that's here. And what we do not understand as Christians is that we have a code of conduct that we must follow. You alluded to it in physically removing the people from the church. This transcends that so far. You are an American Christian man. You serve in the forces which guard our country and our way of life and our faith, and I am prepared to give my life in their defense. Article 1 of the Code of the American Fighting Man. You and I understand, because of our service in the country, Congressman Hill, what war is and how terrible it is. You studied it intimately in a great institution of our military. But we do not understand in the church. We are at warfare right now. And we must do two things that are imperative, because it's a secular front and it is a spiritual front. First, we must trust God implicitly. Yes. Then secondly, we have got to trust our government. We have to trust the man that's president right now. It doesn't matter what any of us think about how this should be done, how things should be handled. What matters is that we line up behind the man who has demonstrated that he has our interest at stake, and we do whatever is necessary to help him. We need to do two things. This is your military training also at the academy. There are two things that are imperative when you're a fighting force. One, you have to know your enemy. Sun Tzu said that in The Art of War. But you also have to know your allies. We don't know our allies in the body of Christ because we are also divided. We've got to get together and understand the basic doctrines of the church. We need to be able to articulate them openly and clearly to everybody. Then we must live by them. The church must be free to express the gospel of Christ, but we also must hold one another accountable for properly articulating that gospel. The right gospel must go out. Pastor, you say that you understand and you do the elements of the Marxist attack on America, and you have boiled them down to three things. Can you quickly summarize those? The three
absolutely
things
destroy the nuclear family, divide the nation by racial lines, and dethrone God.
And that's right. It is destroy the family, create racial schism, and then destroy the church.
Right.
And we're in that third attack right now. It is the door has been opened. They've already had the racial stuff, and Don Lemon is an example of it, as is Michelle Obama, who made some scandalous statements yesterday. But the family has been under attack since the Lambeth Conference in 1933, when the World Anglican Community took us off the old reproductive standard, the rules for sex, and instituted some things that everybody in the Christian community mistakenly embraced. The war has been going on, but there's an external enemy right now who Satan is energizing, who could be probably Russia, a whole cabal of people that are using idiots like and well-trained people like probably Don Lemon and anybody in CNN, anybody in the media, to prosecute this war. It is war. It's just a war in a form that we do not recognize, and Richard Nixon wrote all about it 45 years ago. So I'm going to end my diatribe, but I just wanted to make the statement on air and let Congressman Hill, because of his excellent academy background and his Christian faith, expound on the fact that we are at war, therefore, what do we do?
Absolutely. Very well stated and very well. The question is framed very well, and I'm thankful for your comments and your statements. You're spot on with what you said, and that's going to be my elongation of the balance of the broadcast today. So thank you, Marshall, for your call. Congressman Hill, we've got just about a minute before the top of the hour news break, but I've listened to several so-called commentators as to what churches should have done and what they should have done. I've outlined just about 7 points after listening to several. Some say, just turn the other cheek. Others say, we need to pray for them because they, we know they're our enemies. Others say, just witness to them because they need Jesus. Others say, just call the police and sit down and wait until they get there. Others say, pity them for they know not what to do. Others say, everyone just run and hide. And then yet there's those that will say, stand your ground, protect those around you, and do not allow those to enter in and destroy the worship and destroy what God has allowed us to do freely. So that's my position on it. We're going to talk about those further in just a moment. But I want our listeners to understand it's a serious conversation today about the Marxist mobs storming a local New Testament church. Congressman Hill, hold on a moment. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, right after the top of the news.
And Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.